Hey everybody, it's your host George from Gaming My Whole Life, joined again by the delightful Jamel and Jay. Fellas, how are we today?
I am doing fantastic, and I'm thrilled to have my great old mate Jay for a second episode in a row. How you doing, Jay?
Oh, just loving it, boys. Thank you very much for the invite. I'm glad I didn't scare anyone off, so it's a good start.
always a great start. Now, we've reached episode 15 already. My, how does time fly, right? Like, this podcast only started in, what was it, Jan, Feb? Like, it was just the start of this year. We're already at episode 15. That's a whole lot of hoo-ha we've been talking.
Time just flies when you're having fun, mate. That's it.
That's it. And, you know, time flies when you're having fun, and, you know, when you're having good chats, it's just... It's a nice and simple way to spend out your evening.
Indeed, indeed. Now, we do have some interesting topics to discuss today. Naturally, you gentlemen would have heard of the PlayStation exclusive, the massive release, God of War 3. This game has been blowing critics away. Like, when we're talking about review scores, I'm not sure I've even seen anything below 10. Like, 10 out of 10... is a typical review. A 9 out of 10 is probably considered low for this game. That's how well it's doing. And it is just blowing people away. Like, the last time a game made this much commotion on release was when Zelda Breath of the Wild came out. That was the last time, and that just flooded, you know, the gate with 10 out of 10s everywhere. And then, yeah, Sony has just really stepped up their game, and they're like, here's another... great single-player experience. Now, the developers is Santa Monica Studios, and as I mentioned, this is a PlayStation 3 exclusive, so you can't get this on PC. It isn't the Xbox exclusive. Where it's like, this is exclusive, get our Xbox console, and you're like, or I'll buy it on Steam for cheaper. It's like, you can do that too. It's just like... Yeah. You know, a good idea, but not executed so well. Have you gents had a chance to check out this game, or does it tempt yous to get God of War 3? And were yous a fan of the previous God of Wars 1 and 2?
I haven't checked out much about it. I've seen a screenshot, and the screenshot looks amazing. Kratos has a beard. And a kid by the looks of it.
Yeah, he has his own son, and I do like the beard. Like, just looks more manly and rawr.
The only God of War game I've played was the one they did on PSP, so I don't know if that was a re-release or an original or whatever, but that's the only one I've ever played. And I love that game. Like, that game was crazy.
Oh,
but,
nice.
I've never actually played any of the ones on PlayStation, like the main console.
Okay. How about you, Jay? Have you gotten your fingers wet with this game before?
No, can't say I have either, mate. Though I have seen a lot of their ads, I think both on, I think even TV, like the maybe one of the channels runs their ad every now and then, but also Twitch has it a fair bit on, so they're really pumping it. So trying to get that promotion out there, get the name out there, and the trailer looks phenomenal, like the sun shooting a bow, missing an animal, and then it just going through like a mound, like just destroying the earth. So yeah, it looks amazing. It looks phenomenal.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that particular trailer, but it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of bow was that?
Oh, I think it's more saying the sun's got the gift. So it's, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, little like, bit of a hint of things to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the superpowers. Yeah. But, Do you know, sometimes we talk about games having brands. Even though I haven't seen any of this trailer, or I haven't seen much, I've seen a screenshot, one. But do you know what I know that this game will be like already? Because it's a God of War game. I know it's going to animate beautifully. I know that it's going to be incredibly cinematic when they do animate it and do the in-game cutscenes versus pre-rendered. I know that the action is going to be intense and there's going to be crazy, like huge monsters and Kratos flying around like a maniac. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that, yeah, every time he breaks out, like, you know, the God of War super strength or whatever, he's just going to wreck stuff.
They definitely have held on well to that. Like, I played the the original on the PlayStation 3, and yeah, it was very action based, very heavy on that. Actually, reminded me of Devil May Cry to an extent.
Yeah,
and I've been reading up on the this third entry into the series, and it seems like it's gone more in a direction which I personally prefer. Like, I like my action games, and you know, that's what the God of War series has all been about. Whereas this one, and my thoughts have been mirrored through countless reviews that I've stalked this game over with, and that is, it's like the God of War character Kratos. It's like he's matured, and they're trying very hard to portray that, which is why he's more of a father figure and, you know, has his beard and is showing aging and all that. But one thing which they've made very clear is, even though there's more backstory and they've made a pretty flat character have more depth and layers, from the videos I've seen, when he unleashes, like, despite how well the story is and so forth, when he unleashes, this game is brutal. Like, I'm just seeing him just rip through enemies, and it looks amazing. It looks painful. His normal attacks look like the X-ray moves you see in the last two Mortal Kombat entries. If you've played those ones, they have like these X-ray moves where it's not a fatality, but in the middle of a fight, you charge up this meter. Yeah, like you probably know what I'm talking about, Jay. And in the middle of the match, you know, like, say you'll punch him really hard in the head or something, and then it'll go into X-ray and it'll show the skull actually shatter a bit. And those sort of moves and executions are blended flawlessly into God of War. And you're both right, even from a single screenshot, and I've seen screenshots, videos, like, I've really stepped up my stalking game. I'm actually quite proud of myself. Like, I'm just like, all right, I don't have this on the PlayStation 4, but I am going to, like, absorb as much as the interwebs can show me. And turns out there was a lot. And this game is phenomenal. Like, just, it looks absolutely amazing. And it isn't just, it looks okay and it has a great art direction. Like, you look at this, and this is, like, we don't really use the word next gen a lot, but that actually pops in my head a little bit. Like, I look at those graphics and it's like, yeah, I'm pretty good with these sort of graphics. Like, this just, like, that's what I hope, you know, the next future Zelda games look like, for example, you know? Like, if you can reach such a standard, which of course it will, and yeah, the PlayStation owners, they're just, you know, they're shaking their fists in the air. They're like, yeah, this is our game. And power to them. Because, you know, obviously I'm very vocal myself. And if this same game was on Nintendo, oh, on the Switch, oh my goodness, I'd actually feel sorry for our listeners. Like, they would have to listen to me brag about it so much. I'm like, oh, I didn't stop with Zelda. Now we got God of War 3. And I'll make some sort of post on it, because you know I will. So, respect where you're based, by the way. Yeah.
Shameless plug.
Oh, we don't have shame. Like, it's just a plug with us at this stage. It's
not... I just love how you found a way to actually just bring in the evil empire, even when we're talking about a conversation about Sony and God of War. Just manage to slot in Nintendo.
Oh, every chance I get. Speaking of which, like, Facebook groups and this and that. I did post it in the group, but this is actually relevant to the topic which I want to discuss today, is the success of God of War 3 has reheated the argument that says, you know, are single-player games in today's age, are they dead and are they viable as a business? Because that's the post which I actually put on Facebook just a couple days ago. And it's just blown up. Like, there's like more than 100 comments on it, heaps of views, heaps of shares, like, everyone's discussing it. And basically what my post was about was like, hey, here's 10 single-player focused games that prove that EA's, you know, giving a hint every chance they get that, hey, multiplayer is where it needs to be. It needs to be game as a service, because, you know, single players games, you buy it once and that's it. And, you know, maybe a DLC down the track. But multiplayer is where they're convinced the future of gaming is and where resources and funds go. And they said that, you know, during what do you call it, Battlefront, the Star Wars Battlefront game?
Yep, two.
And, yeah, ever since God of War 3 has come out, everyone's like, well, I'm not sure that argument has any legs to stand on, because God of War is a, you know, single-player experience, you know, story-driven. This is the very existence of what you say, you know, can't really exist in modern gaming, whereas he's proof that it does exist. And again, Zelda and The Witcher 3, and there's just like The Last of Us. Like, there's just actually heaps of single-player games. And that's where I wanted the input of both of you fine gentlemen, and especially you, Jay, because I know that you're a multiplayer fan yourself, and I know you're a fan of both sides of the fence. Like, all of us enjoy multiplayer, but you particularly, Jay, you will definitely spend a lot more time online, playing an online shooter, whether it's third person or first person. So I feel you could bring a take on the argument. How do you feel, Jay, about the conversation in general? Like, do you think there's even a topic to be had? Are you glad that single-player games are getting, you know, a bit of a shine on them, and you feel there's enough for both worlds? Or do you think EA has it right? It's like, no, just focus on multiplayer games because that's where it's at, and God of War 3 was a fluke.
Yeah, look, I think you put it pretty well. I do sort of toe the line on both sides. I do thoroughly enjoy probably the social aspect of the multiplayer games a fair bit. And but I mean, you know, my favourite game of all time is Final Fantasy VII, so I think there's space for both. And I'm glad games like The Witcher 3 as well was another phenomenal single player one that, you know, took over everything for a little while. And I think that's how it should be. There needs to be both. I mean, people get bored and complain if there's only one. You need both. So, yeah. That's what I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I agree. I agree. You need a bit of both. I actually reckon that there's a bit of a pendulum swing element to that, yeah? Because I remember when MMOs were first coming out, you know, because I was a player of, like, StarCraft Online, and then World of Warcraft, more specifically to my point, was, you know, you were playing single-player games, and you're like, oh, man, it'd be so cool if I could play this with my friends, or this, or that. And then when all this, that era of playing games cooperatively or versus other people came out online, it was like a, you know, it was a whole new world. And, you know, the pendulum swung backwards and forwards a few times. I think what we're seeing is that there was an overreaction, like an overcompensation for towards online gaming and you know, DLC and what's become known as, you know, predatory practices with like loot boxes and that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just seeing a correction.
Yeah.
Okay, so you feel like we're in a phase at the moment. Like, what we're experiencing right now doesn't necessarily represent what's going on in the future. We're just in an influx. Like, we're swinging again in the opposite direction.
It's balancing back out, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's... I think we're coming back towards equilibrium
mm-hmm.
now. We were overbalanced towards online, and now people have... there was a bit of backlash, and people have gone, people do like single player games. So, well, we better make some. And now it's just sort of evening out. And we will probably hit a nice sweet spot for a bit, and then we might see an overcorrection another way again. It's kind of similar to, like, you know, stock market or property prices. Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead, Jay.
I was gonna say that's a very good point too. Like the loot boxes and the microtransactions are probably a way that have encouraged developers more to push towards a multiplayer online, because for them, I guess, it's more money and it's a bigger cash cow. So, I don't know. To me, that makes it more enticing for them as a business standpoint. But and I guess if you've got a game like World of Warcraft, it'll be going forever because they'll just release more expansions, more content, and you can keep doing that rather than a single player. When someone's bought it, a lot of the time there won't be any DLCs, or sometimes there might not be expansions. So I think that's maybe why developers and people even gravitate a bit towards maybe the multiplayer games a little bit more.
Yeah. It's like developers have admitted that, you know, naturally it's a business for them and they need to make as much money as possible. And it's been stated countless times that why should we put money and resources into something which will pay us out once compared to something which continuously pays us out for years to come. And yeah, like as far as money goes at the moment, yeah, online multiplayer with as many microtransactions as possible, provided you get a balance goal, and you know, it doesn't become a pay to win and so forth, then yeah, like that is the way to make money, which, you know, that's the same with all industries, really. Like if the movie industry somehow figured out how to make money beyond us just going to the cinema, like putting aside, you know, after DVD sales or whatever, but if there was a way which when we went to see the latest Marvel movie, for example, and you had the option of paying for your movie ticket, but then paying an extra $10 and getting, I don't know, some extra content, maybe some extra exclusive scenes or whatever, you know, movie directors and so forth and producers would be all over that, because they're like,
yeah,
our movie will be less of a risk if we can bring it all together. And I think risk is the key word here, actually. When you make a single...
I wonder... Oh, yeah. Go on, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you make a single-player experience, it's a risk. Because, you know, what's a single-player game? It's story-driven, you know, and sometimes they release it and they invest a lot of money in it. And, yeah, like God of War 3, it blows up. But let's turn the table. Let's say God of War 3 didn't do so well, then like all money they've put is down the drain, and they're not going to be able to compensate it with add-ons after the fact. You know, you get like a bit of a one shot. Like if the reviews were bad and time management just made the quality of the overall game bad and just didn't work, you can't correct it. Whereas an online multiplayer game, as much as I hate to say this, say you release one and it's not in the best of condition. And to be honest, that actually does seem to be the norm. They do tend to patch it later and all that. You can fix it and not only recoup your money later, but still make a profit. What were you going to say, Jamil, before?
Oh, I was going to say, with your point about movies, I wonder how much pop vinyls and things like that are a part of that, because the whole collectible market, and I guess that is sort of like a cross-platform thing, right? Because that's like sort of comics, movies, video games as well. But like just collectibles and pop vinyls are huge, and yeah, I was just wondering how much that fits into that kind of model, like how much licensing products, like for example, you were talking about Witcher 3 before, Jay. Bandai Namco have licensed the main character of that, Geralt, to be like the guest character that we know about so far in Soul Calibur 6.
Yeah, and that's blown up. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And like if you see like the trailer for it, looks good. The character looks good. The like the gimmick and like the stuff it does, or the stuff Geralt does in that game looks good. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I do like the fact that you did point out pop vinyls. Because, yeah, for the movie industry, that, in a way, is a little bit of DLC. So, like, extra content that's related to the main product, which is the movie, which you can buy after the fact, you know? The only difference here, naturally, is no matter how many pop vinyls are released after it, or anything sold after, in fact, won't impact the final movie. Like, the final movie won't be slightly less or slightly, you know, geared in another direction, depending on how much money you've spent. Everyone who goes, everyone who goes to see the movie will see it in its entirety and will all have the same experience. You know, the only thing you can change is whether you see gold class or not, and if you'll be in a comfy chair or sitting next to someone with a little bit of a questionable smell coming from them. Like, that's the most difference.
Do you know where I reckon movies, in terms of the experience expanding beyond the cinema, is going to come to? I reckon it's going to be VR. I reckon if you were going to, like, a VR cinema, so all you have to do is just pack people into a bunch of comfy chairs into a room, don't have to worry about a projector, everyone just chucks on their VR headset, and then depending on the ticket you get or you buy, you know, you may not have to watch all these ads. You know, before the movie, you could be watching, like, special features and stuff, and, you know, outtakes and stuff like that. You know, that would be tremendous for the studios and the cinemas. Basically, that would... I should patent this, Jesus. Village, Village and Hoyts. don't listen to this. This is my idea. Copyright, Jamil Bellici, 2018.
Yeah, and you can very easily compare the movie industry to the gaming industry as well. Like, they're both multi-billion dollar industries that cost years and, you know, thousands of people and manpower to put it together. And it's a risk. Like, you know, you release a movie, and movies have a much shorter window of opportunity as well to make or break it. Like, if they have a really bad opening weekend and, like, not many people go and the board doesn't really roll, then they can easily lose money. And with movies, there's nothing you can do to recoup that, you know? Like, short of movie didn't do well and a few months later you already have the DVDs out. And it's like, maybe hardcore fans can go and buy it. But that's it.
That's pretty rough. It's legit. Like, there's not anything you can do. Because, like, if you don't get that ball rolling, you're just toast.
True. I wanted to, because I just realized I haven't really given my $1.50 on the topic at hand. Going back to, you know, the world of gaming and EA and single player games and so forth. I do have a counter argument, which I believe we've actually brought up on this podcast before, but because it's relevant, I do want to bring it up again. And that is, you know, single player games are apparently a gamble, you know, because you don't know how much ongoing money you can make. My argument to that, again, comes down to these, you know, amazing graphics and so forth. Like, I am a graphics whore, man. Like, I like, you know, I like my pretty visuals. I love my artistic fire. Vision.
Water.
Exactly. Where is the water? You know, I just finished downloading Assassin's Creed Origins, so I'm going to get into that.
I thought he was going to say pool simulator.
No, but, you know, once I get a VR headset, though, like, I will be sitting in some virtual pool and just splashing my hand in the water. I'm like, this is lovely. Like, this is the whole game, but that's fine.
This is getting so Ready Player One. Oh, God.
but stepping back to it, though, one thing which I see indie developers doing, and I'm not saying that, you know, companies like Ubisoft and EA and Blizzard and so forth need to take such a step back as to, you know, do pixel games like a lot of indies do, or have, you know, quite simple graphics. But using the excuse that you can't do state-of-the-art without some sort of safety net, which is microtransactions, my argument is just don't have it as visually massive. Like, you can have a good-looking game without it being the absolute best one, you know? Like, say that Star Wars Battlefront 2 game came out, right? And say it was more single-player focused on the story and so forth, and it didn't have the wow amazing graphics that it has today. Like, it still looks good, but you didn't look at, you know, still screenshots of that and be like, wow, that foliage, like, looks real, you know? you just looked at it and you're like, oh, that looks like, you know, that looks like a nice game. I'll maybe try it out. And say the money which they put into, you know, the graphic side of things and visuals and fidelity and all that, say they spent only half the money, you know, they've only put half the gamble there. And the only thing they need to do for the game to carry is for it not to suck. Like, I just think that it's a missed opportunity. Like, quite frankly, I think it's just an excuse. I think they know how to balance both worlds. Like, I liked it how it was back in the day, and I wouldn't mind a return of this. I'm not saying I don't want multiplayer focused games, because I know there's an audience for it. I know, Jay, I know you're big on that as well. And I know there's others that, you know, love their multiplayer games, and power to all you guys, you know? But I don't like the fact that it's one or the other. Like, it's either a God of War game or it's an online multiplayer game with no single or whatever. Like, remember back in the day, you'd get a solid game, you'd have a nice single player campaign, and then there'd be a multiplayer option at the side, you know?
Mm.
And it's like, you enjoyed the main story? Cool, go play with your friends now for months or years on end and update that. But I don't like the idea of the abandonment of single player. And to be honest, I think we've been tricked, and that's why we're having this conversation, because we're having this chat because we feel it's worthy of talking about. It's like, oh, single player is under threat or multiplayer is under threat, and, you know, we want to give our opinion. But what makes us think any of this is under threat other than one mega powerful publisher saying, oh, well, we don't really see a future in that area, you know?
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but there is that thing of, though, where if a big publisher is saying one thing, then that can, you know, they can influence a lot of other people by saying that. That's all I really want to say about that.
No, you're absolutely right. They do have influence. We wouldn't be having this conversation if they didn't have influence. You know, those posts I'm putting on Facebook wouldn't be exploding the way they are if they didn't have influence. And they are in a position where they can have influence, because whether people like EA or Ubisoft or whoever else is out there making the games, whether you like them or not, they have influence. And when they make a move, the industry as a whole watches them and learns, you know? When they succeed at something, that opens the gate for other developers to do the same. And when they fail, that's when people take a step back, which is why a lot of people are actually promoting the fact that, you know, my game doesn't have microtransactions. Like, there's actual indie developers, which I kid you not, on the box art will have write-in saying no microtransactions or like complete game or something. And I know that sounds like a silly thing, but we're in a time of day where people care about that. And quite frankly, we're just all a little bit too sensitive. And I know I'm part of that. You know, I view gaming to have certain values that I grew up with, and I'm, you know, I want my complete games and that's it. And the idea of anyone or any company suggesting otherwise to justify what I feel are dodgy business practices, it annoys me. Because they're also, and I just realized this while thinking it out loud, so I want to communicate that. I don't like the fact that they've made me in one way or another look down slightly at multiplayer. Because I don't want to do that. I think multiplayer is great. I've had some of my best gaming moments online, playing with friends, playing with UJ, playing with Theo. Like, many of my greatest memories are with yous, and I wouldn't want to take that away ever, you know? I want multiplayer to be around. I want multiplayer to grow. I want single player to grow. And I just don't want any one side saying the other side needs to die, you know? Like, just give us full games, and if you're worried about money, maybe get better game designers, maybe focus more on gameplay, but just don't give us excuses, you know? And if you're not good in a certain genre of games, don't make those games. And maybe it's okay if a game only makes 20 million profit or whatever. Like, why aim for the skies? Why is it if the game doesn't make $200 million, it's a fail? It's not. If a game is fun, if a game gets you your money back, then it's a success. And when it's a success, and you announce it's going to be a sequel, everyone's going to jump on board with it. Like, Jay, I played the... What was it called? The Divinity? Is it? That Ubisoft game where you run around the streets and you're in New York and you run around, you have guns, it has RPG elements.
Oh, I'm sure. You know what game I'm... Nah, did we play it together?
Yeah, it's Divinity. No, it's not Divinity. I played
it. Are you talking about Deus Ex?
No. It was a lot more recently. It ran off the Snowdrop engine. When you shot people, actual numbers came off them.
Division.
Division. Yep. Okay, I had the div bit right.
Nailed it.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Nailed it.
All right, so the Division, right? I played that with you guys. I enjoyed it, but it didn't really end up being my thing. I'm actually more inclined to go back to it because I've heard that a sequel is in the works.
Yeah.
And a sequel wouldn't matter if you didn't have an established fan base. And I think that's more exciting as far as money goes and sales than just another expansion or more features, you know? Like, if you told me that The Division is adding more features and, you know, I should maybe get back into it, Jay, I would consider it, but maybe nothing would happen. But just knowing that, like, I'll be honest, but knowing a sequel is coming, you know, The Division 2, and with sequels come expectations, you know, improved graphics, improved gameplay, mechanics that they ironed out in the first one will all cross over to the second one. That to me drives more numbers, you know.
Okay. Do you know what we should do one day?
What
we should grab all the things that we've all agreed that we love and we want games and the game industry to be like. We should get them all together and like put them in the list and see how many of them contradict each other.
Yeah, good point.
Like, these are the examples of games I want that play like this, and it's like,
or. Yeah, or I want the game industry to do this, and I wish, like, X was like this, you know what I mean? I just, like, you know, if we re-listen to all 15 episodes and just put together our list of all the things that we all want and we all thought would be good, I'm just curious, like, I'm just imagining someone in the game industry, like, listening to the podcast going, like, but last week they said they wanted this, now they want this. Like, what is going on?
We can definitely include, you know, more specific examples, and we'll give listeners a chance to, you know, on the Facebook page to join in, be like, hey, I listened to your last recording, and here's an example of some games which I want their values put into games in the future. So I like this game, and it got this bit right, and I also like this game, and surprisingly does the opposite of what I just said I like.
But, do you reckon would be good?
What?
Is if we go on Positive Gaming Space, which everyone... Join Positive Gaming Space. It's a fantastic page.
You know, we've almost hit 200 members on that.
Nice.
Oh my god, that's so amazing. I can't wait. Like we should do something special when we hit 200. But we should pose the question to them: what do you want the game industry to be like, and what kind of games do you want to see? And we should talk about that for an episode. I reckon that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Look, we'll put that out to our listeners, and contact us through social media. Let us know what you think. Otherwise, you know, we'll probably go ahead with it anyway because it's not a bad idea. But obviously, feedback is a good thing. I'm going to wrap things up here though, so I can keep at the half hour goal. Jay, thank you so much for joining us once again. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, boys. Thanks for having me.
And Jamil, my right hand man. Thank you so much for, you know, been yourself, and I am not sorry that I brought Nintendo into the conversation again.
yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on here again, George. I always appreciate being a part of this podcast. And I guess this makes Jay your left-hand man. Jay, thank you for joining us again. I always appreciate talking to you.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I love being a left hand, so I'll take that.
Ah, good old lefties. I thought I had more to go with that, but like my brain just stopped. I'm like, no, that's it. That's the full sentence. All right. See you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care.